The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast. Dr. Taz.
Your good health journey starts now. Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back to the show. My next guest, I know you've seen her on TV or in many other places, is Carrie Glassman. Carrie is a renowned celebrity nutritionist, a healthy cooking expert, and wellness thought leader. She is the founder and president of Nutritious Life, a lifestyle and media company devoted to helping individuals discover and live their most nutritious and happiest lives, and the Nutrition School, an online course that provides unparalleled forward-thinking education to individuals of different backgrounds looking to establish careers in the health and wellness industry. She is also the author of 4 best-selling books. I know I've read some of these, The New You and Improved Diet, The O2 Diet, and is regularly featured on national television programs like The Today Show, Good Morning America, and The Rachel Ray Show. Welcome to the show, Carrie.
Great to be on the show with you.
We are so happy to have you. I know many of us have watched you or read your books or followed you in different forms or fashions over the year to kind of see what you were saying about nutrition. I am very curious, since you're in this world and you live this world, what do you think is the most cutting edge, newest nutritional breakthrough over the last few years? And what are you advising your clients, today that you were not maybe talking to them about, maybe 4 or 5 years ago?
Wow, that's a good question. I don't know if I would say that this is the most cutting edge. I don't know what necessarily the most cutting edge is, but I would say that this is probably the biggest change in the last 5 or so years is probably the acceptance of fat as a good component of your diet.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, I mean, I've never, since I've been in private practice for about 15 years, I've never really recommended, even probably 15 years ago, I'm trying to go back that far thinking, but I don't think I even then. Even then, I think I knew not to recommend the fat-free products because we knew that they were then just loaded with sugar. But I was, even at that time, let's say, recommending something like, okay, for example, I wasn't necessarily recommending something like a fat-free peanut butter because, obviously, that's not a good example, actually. They'd only make low-fat. I'm trying to think of something like a fat-free cookie today. I wasn't recommending something. I'm like, that's not even actually a good example because cookies are cookies and they're still always treats.
Right.
But there was like low fat and fat free products still had added sugar. So even 15 mm-hmm. years ago, I wasn't doing that because we knew that the manufacturers just added sugar, which you were just replacing the fat with sugar, which is equally as bad. So I was never really recommending that. However, there were instances where you would recommend to have less fat in a way such as I used to recommend years ago, fat free yogurt. And I wouldn't, in that case, because I'd say better to get no reason. You're getting the protein and the calcium without the fat. And instead of having the fat from the yogurt, add in fat from a healthier source like nuts. So have a fat-free yogurt with nuts is something, for example, I even used to recommend years ago. But then over, I'd say probably for the past probably 5 to 7 years, I've been recommending low-fat or full-fat yogurt, again, just as an example of fat. And that is really because we have learned so much about fat and not only about how different fat, even saturated fat, has a healthy place in your diet, a certain amount of certain types, of course, but we've learned so much about fat in general and how fat in general plays an important role in your diet. And I think for most people, many people still come in thinking that they shouldn't be eating fat and that fat makes you fat.
I find
one of the biggest changes. Yeah,
it's one of the biggest changes, I think, in the last few years. And it's also for me seeing patients is one of the biggest challenges. I mean, I wish I could describe to you the look on some of our patients' faces. We're like, okay, you're a little insulin resistant. Let's go ahead and start you on a higher fat diet. They're like, what? And I completely relate because, being a child of the 80s, I mean, I tell the story all the time. I thought Diet Coke and fat-free popcorn was a healthy dinner because there were 0 calories in it. I can completely understand where people are coming from. How did we stumble on this, world of finally understanding that fat was important? And what are the greatest benefits of adding fat into your diet? What have you seen firsthand?
Well, we've seen, we know that one of the reasons we figured this, I guess a couple of the reasons that this was figured out was, one, we know that over all of these years it was really based on a couple different studies having to do with fat, and I'm saying, don't quote me on this. Just tell all your listeners this, but no, I'm kidding. This is just right. Like this is. I don't have the exact study. I wish I had the exact study in mind, but there was really a little bit, let's just say, of research that was linked fat and heart disease, and it was almost like everybody jumped on it, and then everybody jumped on it, lead researchers at the time were promoting that and saying how fat was bad and that led us to be fat. It didn't really make sense. It related to cholesterol, what the study was on, but it didn't relate necessarily to gaining fat, to becoming overweight. It didn't make sense. But for whatever reason, the nutrition world jumped on that, and the people that made nutrition guidelines jumped on that, and then after that, doctors, dietitians jumped on it, and that was the message we got. Fat makes you fat. Fat makes you fat. Then food manufacturers, we know, and you started making all these fat-free products. And what do you do when you take out the fat? You add sugar, as I mentioned before. And what happened there, right. our obesity rates, diabetes, cancer, everything went up. I mean, especially the obesity. Diabetes. I mean, skyrocketed. Because as you just mm-hmm. mentioned before, when you mentioned insulin resistance, we know too much sugar is going to increase your risk of being insulin resistant. And when that happens, you know, you end up storing more fat and you become fatter. You gain right. weight when you overconsume sugar. Obviously overconsuming any calories is not great for you, but specifically, like you mentioned, sugar and insulin and the connection to increasing fat is a big, big problem. So that was one thing. So I think the reason some of these guidelines have changed and the thought is different now is, one, we saw that, okay, having all this sugar did not do anything good for us. It was all bad for us. And then there's been so much research since then, showing how fats are not the devil, and that we know that, I mean, even in 2007, I mean, I recommended having a diet of about 30% of your calories from fat. So, I mean, for years, I mean, there are dietitians and I'm sure doctors and certain people have known that we do need about a third of our calories to come from fat. We do need these calories in our diet, but the public still was a little, you know, obviously a little bit slower to catch on. So, but the reason we do need a good percentage of our diet to come from fat is because fats help us stay satisfied. So fats provide satiety. They keep us satisfied. I mean, we all know when you consume, let's say, celery and peanut butter, you're going to be a lot more satisfied than if you eat, let's say, pretzels that are all sugar right. and going to not fill you up and not provide satiety. I always say, and on that note, not only is that if you have 100 calories, let's say, of celery and peanut butter versus 100 calories of pretzels, not only is the peanut butter and the celery going to fill you up, but it's also going to provide you with a lot more nutrients. That peanut butter also has protein. There's also antioxidants in there. So that's another reason that where fats come from, healthy fats, there's also other nutrients. Fat also helps you absorb vitamins. So the fat-soluble vitamins A, D, E, and K, you need fat to help you absorb those vitamins.
And that's something in practice, yeah. you know, that we notice all the time, you know, by the way, is that the patients that are fat deficient or are losing fat mm-hmm. in their stool, and this is in children too, by the way, when you're losing fat in your stool, you're very low in these fat soluble vitamins. And a lot of them are really critical, like D, E, and K. I mean, a lot of these are pretty critical for protecting you against inflammation, helping your immune system, helping your hormone axis. And, you know, for somebody like me, who's been trained in multiple systems of medicine, you know, your Ayurvedic and Chinese guys are going to be screaming, like, why'd you take fat out to begin with? I mean, they would give like ghee or meat fat or things like that when they thought somebody was weak or depleted yep. or having trouble getting pregnant. You know, these were their home remedies, you know. So I remember, you know, distinctly going into this fat-free craze, you know, and my whole story was about my hormones crashing and going all over the place. But that was a piece of it. You know, I was so fat deficient when I already had a fatty acid deficiency to begin with that I made a small problem into a major problem purely because of my food choices. You know, so we know how critical fat is, and we know all the different roles fat plays, like you mentioned, with satiety and taste and helping us lose weight and helping us manage insulin. I mean, I think I would add to that even helping balance hormones and, you know, helping with gut health. I know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, those are so important. I know what my listeners are thinking. They're asking, like, what fat? Like, are all fats the same? Are all fats created equally? How much fat? Can you dial down maybe into those specifics a little bit and help us all navigate that world?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing that happened when we started sort of, you know, embracing fat was thinking about healthy fats, monounsaturated fats, which you find in fats like olives, nuts, and seeds, and avocado, right? So we thought of those are what people know of as the monounsaturated fats. And the reason those, I think, became kind of famous for fats is that they help increase mm-hmm. your HDL, your good, healthy cholesterol. And so that's why they became, the popular healthy fat. But then there's also omega-3s, which come, you know, in flaxseed, fish, fatty fish like salmon. And so those also play a role in helping to burn fat and helping to prevent inflammation. And then, and those two are probably, I would say, the most popular fats. And, you know, saturated fat was sort of looked at like, oh, but that's still bad. Fat, you know, saturated fat found in butter and yogurt and you know, certain obviously other dairy products. But what we've since learned is that even saturated fats play a role in the diet. I mean, not a huge amount, but even the small amount of saturated fat in your diet actually has not only been shown not to only not be bad for you, but can actually even help your cholesterol profile, and actually help decrease the bad type of LDL. LDL is actually, there's different types of LDL, which I mean, obviously you know about, but mm-hmm. it actually can even help decrease the unhealthy part of the LDL. So again, I'm trying to keep it as simple as possible. But
right. The
point is that there is even a role for things like butter and the fat found in meat. However, when I say that to people, what I like people to know is you want to get the best quality. That doesn't mean you should get, you know, sort of poor quality meat or just any old butter. I recommend, like you just mentioned, ghee. I recommend organic grass-fed butter. So the higher the quality of these fats is going to be really important. So I usually recommend, I say, you know, about a third of your diet should come from fat, a third of your calories should come from fat. So just as a, you know, I don't like people to count, measure, or weigh much. So I say, you know, a little bit of fat at every single meal, including snacks. So if you're having, you know, let's say Ezekiel bread in the morning with avocado, maybe you have, you know, a tomato slice on it, and perhaps you might even have an egg on the side with a little more fat, but it's pretty balanced. You've got carbohydrates in there, you've got healthy fat, you've got protein. And I say to continue that throughout the day, have, you know, load up on vegetables at every meal, lean protein, and a little bit of healthy fat, and, you know, and eat consistently throughout the day. So I don't really like people to think about, again, weighing or measuring, or people will say to me, how much peanut butter can I have in a day? And I say, well, you can have it five times a day.
Specifics.
Yeah. I mean, you can have it five times a day if you're not adding other fat, and that's your fat source at every meal. But chances are you're having other fats, olive oil, avocado, coconut oil. So, you know, you have to make sure you, I always recommend a variety and a little bit at every meal.
So I like that, you know, again, a variety, a little bit at every meal. You know, does one thing happen, which I think it does in just observing patients and even myself, is that when we do increase fat, our entire caloric load typically goes down. Is that a fair statement to make? Are you seeing that with your clients as well, that they usually will eat less once you bring that back in?
I mean, I absolutely think that people can end up eating less because they're not ravenous. I mean, people end up usually overeating calories because, I mean, even if you think about it, if you sit down to have a piece of grass-fed steak, or let's say steak and sauteed broccoli, you're generally mm-hmm. going to be so much more satisfied with less calories than if you sat down to a bowl of pasta. You could probably eat five bowls of pasta, but you eat that piece of steak and you're like, okay, I'm actually satisfied. It's much more satisfied when you have the fat in your diet. So you actually can. I mean, you can also overconsume pretty easily too. I mean, you could just continue pour that dressing
yes.
on, you know, and you could pour that mm-hmm. olive oil into the saute pan as you're making, you know, your saute sugar snap peas. However, in general, if you are still following, you know, making conscious choices and not going overboard in a, you know, without any sort of, without being mindful at all, you could overdo it, but if you're following, if you're being conscious of it and you're adding it into your diet in a conscious, controlled way, then yes, it's very often your calories will go down.
And this is what we see, listeners, when we're working with many patients, as we mentioned earlier, that are insulin resistant, meaning their insulin levels are elevated and it's sort of signaling the body to constantly store fat. And one of the first places you know that that's happening with you is that you're gaining more abdominal, or what we call visceral fat, versus fat in other areas of the body. But what we've seen, and what we have transitioned to even in practice, is doing more of that ketogenic diet or higher fat diet with patients that are becoming insulin resistant, because we're finding that it stabilizes insulin, it helps them to burn, you know, abdominal fat much better. You know, what are your thoughts on the ketogenic diet? There's a general recommendation of taking small servings of fat throughout the day and eating balanced and eating at regular intervals. And then there's the ketogenic diet that can look like a bear to try to wrestle with and try to master. You know, I'm curious to see what your thoughts are about that particular diet, and if you use it, and if you've had good results with it.
I don't use it. The only time I've really recommended is very specific cases for specific, I mean, sometimes children with certain specific conditions. But I really don't recommend it for the average person looking to lose weight or improve their health. I think it's to me, for most people, just too strict and too tough to follow. And so if there's anything mm-hmm. that's too tough to follow, regardless of what the results are, it just doesn't work. If it doesn't work for the long haul, then there's really no point in trying getting somebody on it. I mean, that's how I've seen it. So it's really more for a medical condition, a reason that I would put somebody on it. And like I said, I personally don't work with it very much.
Gotcha. And I like that. I mean, I think for everybody, that's an important point to remember. If something is that tough to follow, it's not going to work for the long haul. So it's really about finding that halfway point, that balance point that allows us to make healthy choices as we move throughout the day. I know that, you know, fat is a big deal in our family. I think we as a family run a little bit low in fat to begin with. So our fatty kitchen, as I like to call it, has everything from coconut oil, olive oil, ghee, MCT oil. We have butter, we have nut butters, we have avocado. You know, those are some of my favorite fat sources. And yes, we do eat meat in moderation, but those are some of the places that where we often will get our fat from. Are there any other, like, really easy, convenient ways to add fat in? Is there anything that I'm leaving out, or?
Oh, well, you just hit a whole lot of them. I like that. It sounds like my kitchen.
That's our kitchen. Come see it. Yeah, that's definitely our kitchen.
No, it does. It sounds like my kitchen. One thing I do, I take, and it sounds like you have a lot of these things in your house, but what I do is that on Sundays, when I'm doing some food prep for the week, I take whatever nuts and seeds I have around. So almonds, cashews, walnuts, pecans, and I'll chop them up, and then I'll add in whatever seeds I have around. Chia seeds, hemp seeds, flax seed, whatever I have around, pumpkin seeds. And I'll just mix it together and then make a big jar of it. And then I have that, I put it in the fridge, and then I have it there, and I literally toss it on everything. I'll sprinkle it onto a salad. I'll sprinkle it over a sweet potato. I'll put it over some, you know, roasted vegetable. So I just really, I'll put it onto oatmeal or yogurt. So I'll really put it in anywhere, and it's just an easy way to add crunch and to add flavor and to get in some healthy fats. But then, like you said, we have just a variety of oils for different cooking methods. I have avocado oil, coconut oil. I have ghee, like you said. We have, obviously, lots of olive oil. So we do the same thing. We cook with a variety of oils based upon, you know, what we're making and the temperature that we're cooking at. And then we add in nuts and seeds all the time. Avocado, I would say easy ways to get it in also would be easy ways. I guess even just peanut butter packets. They sell so many different individual mm-hmm. packets of peanut butter now. And then, you know, they even sell individual packets of olives. You can even buy in packages of olives, and that's
a great idea.
Snack to bring around.
Like,
yeah, because people get sometimes sick of nuts, and then they don't want to have cheese because they don't want to have the dairy sometimes. And so I say, you know, olives is actually like a great savory snack.
So many great ideas, Carrie, you know, everything from snacks to carry to things to keep in your kitchen and to the importance of fat. You know, nutrition knowledge, as you well know, is evolving, it's changing. You know, we learn something new, I feel like, you know, every 6 months or so. You have an online certification. Tell us a little bit about that. Is that a tool that a lot of us can use to kind of stay up to date and understand what's happening in the nutrition world?
Sure. So my nutrition school is based on, it's a 12-week online course, and it is based on how I've been educating clients for the past 15 years. And it's for people, either, you know, it's for dietitians who want to learn how to communicate the science of nutrition to their clients, And it's also, and for helping them learn how to build their businesses, but it's also for health coaches, Pilates instructors, yoga instructors, fitness instructors, nurses, chiropractors, anyone who talks about nutrition but may want a specific degree, A, to be part of our community. We have it's a really great private Facebook community where all these people are supportive of each other and are educating each other, and it's a great place to go and ask questions. Also, to give them a foundation to give them the credentials and an actual specific expertise in nutrition if they haven't, let's say, gone to school to get their master's in nutrition. So it's I do it 3 times a year, and it's really probably the thing I'm focused on the most right now.
Fantastic. Well, Carrie, thank you so much for your time today. I think we've all learned a lot. Hopefully everybody knows the importance of fat and also the importance of a good balanced diet. Include these fats in your diet and then stay up to date on nutrition and what's happening with Carrie. She's on Twitter at Carrie Glassman. That's GLASSMAN. She's on Instagram at Nutritious Life Official. She's also on Facebook. And then her online certification course you can find at nutritiouslife.com. Carrie, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. And for everybody else, stay healthy, eat more fat, and then maybe come see my fatty kitchen at some point. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
You're welcome. Awesome. Carrie, thank you. That was fun.